Well, BIPFSR Interest Productions, and damn, from last week, y'all really enjoyed that fight scene between Yoko and Quinn. Specifically, the Avatar battles, and thanks to the reactions, I know when it comes to the Beyblade anime, some of the content creators don't keep up with the anime anymore, which is a shame, but that's just another opportunity for me to make a name for myself and talk about it, because when I read the comments, some of them also came from a few other comments talking about why they prefer the Beyblade manga to the anime, and despite some arguments I can see in that regard, I actually disagree, and I've got at least 3 to 5 reasons why. Naturally, we're going to talk about X majority-wise, but there are examples from the other seasons I will explore and discuss later. But first, a sponsor from this video, me! I've been working tirelessly these past couple of months in questionable conditions of disorienting weather, finger cramps, and multiple revisions of scripts, and I've talked about the Beyblade, Tokusatsu, Yu-Gi-Oh!, and Digimon anime as of late, and that's practically it. Sometimes I even make my own roster ideas like Nickelodeon vs. Capcom or another Digimon fighting game that no one wants. You can check out my playlist to click and find other videos of varying audio quality if so fits you. So, why am I saying X's anime is better than its manga and designed that way too? Well, that's because Beyblade has always been like this when you look back. Even with the original series, the manga tells its story in chapters and volumes, and adapting each one straight one-to-one can work sometimes, but especially dealing with a hobby anime, something known for selling products, advertising, and giving a lot of attention to the Beyblades themselves, the manga basically serves as a bridge to flesh that out, and the anime can help bring those ideas to life with more time. That's why most Beyblade series outside of the spin-offs run for 51 episodes or 52 12-minute quarter-hour episodes, so that's usually more time to flesh things out, though some seasons definitely could have been handled better with 51 full 20-minute episodes. There's at least 4 aspects to why I have this claim, though. Characterization and character focus, more screen time and advertisement for the Beyblades themselves, expanding the storyline and the battles. So, let's start with characterization and character focus. While the manga definitely do their part to make the characters likable, the anime has had way more opportunities to not just flesh out the main cast, but also the supporting cast. In the case of X, this helps out Bird and Multi especially. With Bird, not only do we get to empathize more with his struggles trying to catch up to everyone, we've seen more of his skills outside of Beyblade, his backstory, and even his losses do a better job in showing off how far he's gone. Against Onamos, instead of it being a team battle where his implosion only weakens Onamos so Multi can 2v1 the rest, he's actually able to figure out the riddle on his own without his teammates' help, and almost beat the main one. He's able to basically defeat Ichigo and only lose because Ichigo helped the settings to be on Kaoru's level, but still almost lost. He was able to pressure Takumi in a rematch despite the latter fighting for hours, but it's the final battle that does a good job encompassing this. Despite losing, Bird is able to take Kamen Z using the advantages of all 3 of his Beyblades efficiently, and manages to master Hellscythe, something the anime actually fleshed out was originally meant for Shigeru, meaning Bird carried on something Multi intended on entrusting to her sister, to him, and won. But in the anime, it was the same Beyblade he was able to use to create his own version of Dragonic Break and cause an extreme finish that almost won him the match. Then in Season 2, he's able to beat Mako properly. In a triple battle, he defeats Togoro and comes close to beating Yuni. We see his first steps into Beyblade. He's actually able to counter Karuto's initial extreme dash, and we see him training much more in the anime, especially when it comes to mastering Hell's Reaper. And with Multi, some people have found the way she treats Bird kind of unfair, always dismissing him, but the anime helps her out too. Not only do we see her trying to manage and struggle with her identity as a Beycrafter and having her cosplay be challenged, she gets multiple opportunities to flash out aspects of her personality. We see her overworking herself and Bird taking care of her. The entire backstory with Shigeru leaving before she could take Multi's blade puts a lot into perspective from the chapter. Her sister showed up and trounced both of them. Her battle with Yuni has her be more sympathetic to Yuni's issues, trying to balance her actual love for blading and being trendy, while showing her starting off at the losing end of the battle, but is able to adapt and figure out Sting Unicorn's strengths and weaknesses. And in Season 2, they flesh out Tenka doubting her enough to have her return and eventually try to improve her crafting skills, leading to Nightmail's debut having much more weight as she beats someone who was psychoanalyzing Bird, but that also leads into her creating the CX Beyblades. Plus, that also goes for the mountain of supporting characters. I do not get this argument that focusing on the supporting characters is a bad thing, especially when highlighting their strengths and threat level earlier on makes it hit much more impactfully if we get to know and understand them. Thanks to the anime, we see and know how King's been able to fund his team and serve as an effective leader, and how he recruited his team members. For Yggdrasil, we see Burn's altruism more and establishes Onamos and Yuni's threat level and personality, so we know the hurdles Bird and Multi have to face to overcome them. We get Mako's backstory with Bentaro, and this helps out Pendragon especially too. Shiedu, aka Kamen Z, never never had his backstory in the manga at all, and we only found out about him in the last chapter of the manga for season one. Thanks to the anime, we actually get to see and figure out what led him to join Pendragon and how Crow manipulated him into becoming Kamen Z and throwing away his identity, only to not only blame X for causing that, but also getting arrogant and underestimating Bird, which leads into his self-worth arc in season two. But we'll talk about that more when it comes to the storyline, because let's talk about the Beyblades themselves. The other aspect that the anime benefits from compared to the manga is that there's more screen time for toys and advertising for the Beyblades. Now, I'm not gonna, like, give not no respect to the manga, because most of the time the anime just adapts them well. But the issue with the manga is that it's limited in how much you can express the features and aspects of a Beyblade. And given the credit with X is that a lot of Beyblades just rely on the Extreme Dash, the manga doesn't help with that claim when you really only see Multi's Battles, Hell's Hammer, and Hell's Chain are the only ones that have special moves. However, seasons 1 and 2 not only gave us more time in the anime for these Beyblades to have more battles, but it also expanded upon their gimmicks to make the fights more fun. Dran Dagger doing a triple Extreme Dash, Bird and Pakun combining Hammer Smash and Crush, Multi using Sophie's Breath against a 2v1 situation, King using Leon Claw's Guardian Beast to intercept Burn's Phoenix, then using the momentum to parry Phoenix Wing from reaching the Extreme Line, Rex using Jurassic Pressure to dodge attacks, Uni having two special moves cater for attack and defense, Exu creating Excel Drive, Takumi getting a new special move, the extra shoots now being the new special moves, Shiedu trying to master Dragonic Break and forming his own new style with Shelter Drake, and much, much more. And one of the best features is that the anime gets to expand the storyline. With the anime having more episodes than if we just adapted them one for one, we actually get to expand upon some of the storylines. For example, in the manga, Yggdrasil trying to up the metagame is like relevant for like a few panels, and we jump to Yggdrasil versus Persona with Exu beating Burn the next chapter, and meeting Uni and Zonanos with no idea of who they are besides their Beyblades. The anime not only sets up Burn's new teammates before the match, but we also get to see the setup leading to Yggdrasil distributing the Phoenix Feathers and its effect on the other Bladers. Bird's fan gets one, Togoro loses, and King sets up a whole tournament to prove he can handle them. Takumi ends up having his own arc on his sponsor, forcing them to use the Beyblades to progress further, leading to him having a mental crash out. Burn buying over his sponsor so Phalanx would be under his care now, and allow Takumi to regain his pride and start over following the Shuffle Battle Fest. And keep in mind, Takumi doesn't even have a speaking role in the manga after Chapter 1. Plus, in the manga, only Chrome and Exu's rounds are multi-part for the finals of Pendragon. Multi and Bird versus Shigeru and Shieru allow for them to use all of their Beyblades and abilities to show how far they've come and show how strong their opponents are, instead of it just being decided in one match. And then we get to Season 2, which expands upon King and Burn using their new Beyblades and actually having battles with them when the manga we only saw them once. Tanka joining the team in the manga, while it made sense, never really tackled how the rest of the team would naturally be apprehensive to such a decision. But to mirror how she's the anti-hero to her mother's villain, she's organizing the triple battle and incapacitates Exu so that she can act for Persona, establishes her strength beating King and Burn, then all of Persona but Exu. And while she gets Multi to leave, we see her also warming up to Bird slowly. And by their first battle in the Star Battle, after Multi's return, we actually see her apologizing and being properly welcomed into the team, which honestly feels more realistic. Then we get to Shiedu and the Underground story. This ended up in the manga as like a two-page storyline during Arc Wizard's debut in the anime. We see Shiedu struggling with his self-worth after the events of the first season, having to go to Quinn and Ginro for guidance, leading to the Underground subplot where Pakun's kidnapped after finding the blueprints for the Drake lines and make Shelter Drake for him to properly master. Plus, with the change to Pendragon losing to Omega's underlings, it gives not him but also Shigeru an incentive to work with Ginro and Burn to get Chrome back, and Chrome hasn't been in the manga since Chapter 20. There's also some people that feel like there's a weird conspiracy that the anime is just trying to milk as much as it can and add everything that's basically filler, but it's definitely possible that the mangaka are giving out information that the anime team could flesh out. This isn't the first time we've seen this done in a shonen series for kids. Boruto and Attack on Titan especially has had the creator and their co-creator supervise and work on the anime team to flesh out scenes that the manga didn't have time for, or the team would take concepts from the manga and flesh them out in the anime. Look at Pakun helping out Yoko. That was one scene in the manga and the anime fleshed it out into a whole episode, but also used it to give misleaders an opportunity to show off their skills and defeat Team Dreams, which is great because in the manga, these guys don't fight or show up properly until after Zodiac sets them up to fight each other. With the anime showing them rise up in the rankings and Persona needing to surpass them in order to fight Zodiac, now we see the incentive. But here's the damning part in all of this. Other Beyblade series have done this. Looking at past series in the original trilogy, the manga characters suffered from a lot of underdevelopment, especially the side characters that range from only existing from one panel to either never getting a name or battle to participate in, or having some of the battles not even shown, especially if you read the chapters that the first anime adapted. Mariah, Eddie, heck, 2 out of 4 members of the Majestics never battle, and when Johnny goes to fight Tyson, the Demolition Boys invade, which results in a war between all the other Bladers versus Russia. In the anime, it gives every single team its own set of bit beasts, and every character got at least one on-screen battle. Even in V-Force, the Saint Shields are much more independent. They added the Team Psychic Mooks and the Parts Hunters. Heck, for all my fans of G-Revolution, here's going to be a shocker for some of you. The Justice 5 tournament in the second half of the series that has the G-Revolutions taking on Vega's top 5 that the whole season was building up to, with hinting about Bartha's connection and Dickinson watching the WBBA be sold out, forcing the team to make new Beyblades to counter the Super Team and some of the hype fights in the anime? Yeah, those don't exist in the manga. The creator of the manga actually created their initial designs, though, so the anime could use them, which I will put on screen, but they did get subtle changes to their art style by the time of the anime appearance, but it shows the relationship between the manga and the anime may have much more synergy than people expected. Then, in the Metal Saga, a lot of the characters and stories are more fleshed out compared to the manga. Tsubasa and Yu's expansion in the Metal Saga went from being a tag team duo that forced Kiyoya and Jinga to work together in the manga, to Tsubasa being the Dark Nebula's infiltrator and Yu being the eventual traitor who became Jinga and Masamune's teammates in Season 2. Heck, fun fact, for all the teams in Metal Masters, half of the team members don't even exist in the manga. Most of the teams in the manga were only two teammates. Chaoshin and Meimei didn't exist for Wang Huizhong. Team Lavusha's battles weren't even shown at all. Selene, Enzo, and Jack didn't exist. And I don't even think Sophie, Klaus, or Wales battled in there at all. I don't even think Wildfang existed. The hype moments like Ryuga versus Jack, Masamune versus Chaoshin, Tsubasa overcoming the Dark Power, the whole fight in New York City between the United Bladers versus Haiti City, it doesn't happen. Heck, let's talk about Burst. While Burst tries to mostly tell a similar story to the anime and manga, holy crap does the anime flesh out way more stuff. Vault struggles to beat Wakia was one chapter when we only had a whole two battles between them in the anime. Heck, Hoshi doesn't fight in the manga at all from what I found. Ken's development and joining with Ben doesn't happen in the manga. Dinah's cheating storyline gets dropped. There's no team tournament for Season 1's manga content. Kwan's rivalry with Vault doesn't happen. Kuza doesn't join the team in Season 2. Half of Cisco's character development and arc is just gone in the manga. And his fights in the finale just come down to him losing against Free anticlimactically. And there's so much more. But this script has gone way too long, and hey, that's all I got. But tell me anything that surprised you, where you agree, disagree. Thanks for watching, and BIP of Bizarre Interest Productions, signing off.